Chapter 6. The Medicus. He scarcely fit upon the medical slab. Quen had never seen a man so massive, and as she struggled with the thick clasps of his armour, she wondered if he were a man at all.
"Help me with this," she said to the guard, who had been posted to watch the injured stranger.
The young warrior did not respond, but for a slight shake of the head. Quen scowled.
"Fine, I'll do it myself."
Part of the breastplate had been badly damaged and was almost hanging off, the odd nails and bolts used to secure it torn away or loose. Quen got her lithe fingers around one of the bolts, but couldn't turn it. She searched for and found a pair of iron tongs, like a blacksmith's tool, and used them instead. With considerable effort, she loosened the strange bolt, and it came out, thudding heavily to the stone floor. The medicus swept her brow, sweating even in the winter chill of the infirmary, and threw a scathing look at the guard, who pretended not to notice. The room was small and stacked with herbs and unguents, tonics and tinctures, all arrayed in deep wooden shelves off to one side of a medical bench. There were tools, knives and hooks and saws, set up on a rack beneath a single small window that looked out onto a courtyard. The bench was made out of stout wood and reinforced with metal braces, but it still bowed under the armoured weight of the stranger. He had been brought in without ceremony, but with much commotion. No less than 8 of the castellan's men labouring to carry him across the threshold. It took another 6 to help heave him onto the bench, and there he remained, unconscious but breathing. Quen did not really know where to start. She thought it was best to try to remove some of the armour, but that was proving difficult, especially without help. She asked the guard again if he would assist her, and again the young warrior refused.
"Coward," she hissed in the end,
and hooked both hands around the exposed edge of the breastplate and tried to heave it off. She got out a few inches before the weight became too much and it slipped back. She leaned heavily on the stranger's chest, twisting her torso as she searched for something on her tool rack.
"Maybe I can find something to lever it off."
A hand-like vice snaked around her waist, and she cried out. The stranger's eyes were open, but barely. A snarl was forming on his lips, and he glared over at the guard, who had only managed to half-draw his sword before being frozen in place by the stranger's hard eyes.
"Where am I?"
he slurred, trying to get up but failing as the agony put him down again. Quen held out her other hand, bidding the guard to sheathe his sword. Her eyes were full of fear. Not of the stranger exactly, but at what he might do when the guard tried, and failed, to harm him. Paler than a winter storm, the guard took a step back, and the sword slid into its scabbard under its own weight. He looked embarrassed at his state of disarray, trying to hide the wet patch staining his breeches, but dared move no further.
"Please," said Quen, returning her attention to the stranger.
She nodded to her wrist.
"You're hurting me."
The stranger's grip relaxed at once. His face was ashen and flecked with sweat. He had an odd smell, thick and cloying, a mixture of oil and overly sweet spice. The scent of warm iron radiated from under his armour, but she knew what this was.
"You're bleeding," Quen told him. "I need to fix that."
"Who are you?"
he asked, his eyes heavy-lidded and struggling to stay open.
"Where are my brothers?"
"I am Quen, the medicus. I was asked to help you."
"My brothers!"
snapped the stranger, a sudden surge of anger forcing his shoulders up off the bench, but he quickly slumped down again.
"I don't know about them. I only know what I have to do for you. Please," said Quen.
The stranger let her go. The guard stepped forwards again, desperate to find his courage, and was about to say something when Quen beat him to it.
"Get out! Leave! Now!"
"You hurt her!"
rasped the stranger, attempting to rise again. The guard left at once, taking the smell of his urine with him.
"Are you a healer, then?"
the stranger asked. Quen nodded. The stranger gave a curt laugh.
"I Doubt you'll have tried to heal anyone like me before.
Are you in much pain? Quen asked, tentatively putting her hand on the stranger's forehead. You feel warm.
My kind have a tendency to run hot. It's my...
he grimaced, biting back the agony.
My body's response to injury. It's working to heal me.
Quen shrank back a little, but was more intrigued than afraid. Incredible.
Do you? Yes, I suppose it is.
He leaned back and shut his eyes. Do you have a name? Asked Quen, going to her medicine shelf to make up a tincture.
I am Brother Pilliam, one of...
he replied, stopping himself as he was about to say more. You are with the knights from the south? The stranger raised a wry smile and opened his eyes.
Aye, that's us, from the south, from Macragge.
Drink, invited Quen, leaning over the stranger's chest and gently raising a cup to his lips. The stranger frowned.
What's in it?
A little turmeric, some henbane and hemlock. The stranger laughed again. It looked painful to do so.
You're wasting your time, medicus.
Please, said Quen, proffering the cup again.
As you wish.
The stranger drank every drop.
There. Satisfied?
Is your pain leavened?
It is not,
the stranger answered flatly.
But I have a piece of metal lodged in my side, deep enough that it's beginning to irritate.
Gods, where?
Underneath my armour, he pointed.
How have you endured it for so long?
I didn't know it was there until a few moments ago. My body, it tends to shut down pain so I can fight.
That sounds awful, said Quen.
It is my duty, the stranger replied. My purpose.
Then I pity you, my lord. It sounds like a bleak existence.
It is necessary.
He winced in pain again. Your side? Asked Quen. The stranger nodded. Let me help you remove the metal. The stranger wrenched off his breastplate with one hand, and it clattered noisily to the ground. A dark layer of mesh, like a finely woven smock that went beneath a suit of mail or hauberk, shone beneath. Quen had never seen the like, and reached out with tentative fingers to touch it. This material, what is it, some kind of chain mail?
Yes, chain mail, finely wrought by our master artisans.
Truly, the South is a land of wonders, Quen breathed, running her hand along the tight-fitting mesh. There were two more boreholes in the mesh, both in the upper chest, and Quen recoiled as she saw them. Are they wounds? She asked, leaning in to take a closer look.
Yes, wounds, said the stranger.
She didn't think he was telling her the entire truth, but instead was tired of the conversation.
Here,
he added, gesturing to his side. Quen walked around to the other side of the bench and saw a sharp piece of ragged metal sticking out of the stranger's flesh. It looked to be almost the length of a sword, only more jagged.
You'll need to cut, he told her, into me. The shrapnel is barbed. If I just yank it out, it'll tear me open.
How are you even awake? Quen whispered, but reached for her sharpest blade. It had a saw edge, and she hoped it would be strong enough to cut through the strange mesh.
I am from Macragge, said the stranger,
as if that answered everything.
Now, start cutting.
Blood was leaking freely from the wound, pooling redly at Quen's soft-shoed feet as she cut first into the mesh and then the skin. Both were tough, much tougher than she expected. The stranger bore it all. Every one of her faltering, increasingly desperate attempts, not once crying out or expressing any discomfort beyond the occasional grunt. It took almost half an hour, and by the end of it, Quen's arms were trembling with exertion, but the mesh lay open like a partially peeled fruit, and she had made a cut into the skin around the impalement in each of the four cardinal directions.
Good,
rasped the stranger.
Now, guide my hand,
Quen did,
taking his massive, gauntleted fist in both hands and leading it until he had grasped the ragged metal.
"Step back,"
advised the stranger. Quen took three steps and he yanked out the metal, letting out a sharp cry of pain as he did so. It landed heavily, a twisted blade easily the length and thickness of a broadsword. Blood spilled eagerly from the wound, and Quen rushed to gather up cloth and bandages to staunch the bleed. But by the time she had returned to the stranger's side, the bleeding had almost stopped.
"Impossible," she breathed.
"Thank you, Medicus. I owe you a debt," said the stranger, his voice thick with relief, and promptly passed out.
Quen looked on at his body in awe, almost statuesque in its perfection, a sculptor's rendering in marble. To administer treatment to such a man, Quen was glad he seemed so stout, but however enduring the stranger was, he could not re-knit his own flesh. She would at least clean the wound and stitch it, she thought, and had taken up a bowl of clean water and a rag when the horns began to sound. She went to the window, setting down the bowl, and looked out across the courtyard and to the city beyond. Warning fires had been lit for every tower. Shadows moved against the flickering light, hunched and bestial, and inside the city walls.